Welcome to the March 2017 BJS British Journal of Surgery Editor Podcast. I'm Robert Hinchliffe. I hope you enjoyed the special issue on surgical infection. BJS would like to thank all contributors to a fantastic issue. If you haven't yet had the chance, I'd really recommend visiting the BJS website where you'll find the issue free to download. As usual, something for every surgeon in the March issue. The Leader on Translational Research in Surgical Oncology by two of the BJS editors, Malin Sund and Shetil Saraidi, in Surgical Oncology, issues a clarion call for surgeons to get involved in the omic revolution and help bridge the translation gap. The authors make the point that the role and place of surgery in cancer is changing and surgeons must be involved in the vanguard of the translational research to help position surgery in the future. How do you diagnose an anastomotic leak after colorectal surgery? Authors in this issue have analysed the role of some 51 biomarkers, either singly or in combination. And as many of you might have guessed, clinical judgment is still likely to play a key role. It seems that the functional mucus layer may play a key role in the integrity of these anastomoses and development of leaks, and if you look later in the issue, you'll find a very useful paper in that regard. Emergency surgery is a key component of most surgeons' workloads, and for most of us, it probably accounts for about half of our workload. Unfortunately, the evidence to underpin much of that activity seems quite poor. Gallstone disease and appendicitis have been quite well served by a large number of randomised trials, but there are far fewer in bowel conditions and even fewer still in conditions comparing surgery with a non-operative approach. There are two important randomised trials in this issue. Firstly, the Orange 2 trial comparing open and laparoscopic left lateral hepatic sectionectomy. I do wonder whether these trials of open and laparoscopic surgery still have a place, or whether surgeons should be advised to undertake the surgery that they've been trained to do and audit their patient-related outcomes appropriately. Anyway, as you will see from this randomised trial, there are some important lessons to be learned in regard to how to set these trials up. Postoperative pancreatic fistulas are common and serious complications. There are many methods that have been developed to prevent them, but in this issue, authors randomised patients to either pancreaticogastrostomy or a hand-sewn closure after distal pancreatectomy. To find out which offers the best approach, you will have to read the paper though. We all recognise that randomised trials offer the highest level of evidence, but we are all acutely aware of the Hawthorne effect, of the results not matching the outcomes in everyday clinical practice. An important paper from Sweden in this issue compared the outcomes from a randomised trial of laparoscopic gastric bypass versus the outcomes from the same procedure in a national database. I'd like to inform you that the results are really quite reassuring. But what about the nationwide access to complex surgery and their outcomes? There have been many examples of quite severe variations of care within the same country. In Norway, it seems that there remains a postcode lottery for resection rates and survival in those with colorectal liver metastases. Not only is there a variation in the type of patients, but also in the surgical approach and outcomes. One explanation, of course, may be that Norwegian doctors are managing patients and do not follow national and international guidance. In contrast, in the UK, breast surgeons appear to offer immediate breast reconstruction to patients with breast cancer and follow their guidance appropriately, but they're still swayed by patients' age, and perhaps unreasonably so. There are also papers in this issue on the utility of radiofrequency ablation in addition to surgical hepatectomy for liver metastases and a novel angiographic scoring system for patients with peripheral artery disease, which may prove useful both as a classification and a prognostication tool. Well, that's it for the March issue. All it remains for me to do is to draw your attention to BJS Open. This is a new open access journal from the BJS stable, sharing all the high quality aspects of BJS in general surgery and related topics. It's a different type of open access journal, and you will not be allowed to submit to it directly. Instead, you may be given the opportunity to publish your paper in BJS Open if you submit your paper to BJS. Only high-quality articles will be given the opportunity to transfer in this way, so you can rest assured that BJS Open will maintain the same BJS high standards in surgical publishing. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy reading and discovering and discussing the March issue. Thank you very much.